There are a few passages in the Old Testament that talk about God's power being kind of a frightening thing, and you know, fear, not in the sense of respect for God, but fear and trembling. But what we hear today from the Book of Wisdom is the more prominent theme that you see in the Old Testament, that God loves everything that he has made, and he sustains everything by his love and his mercy. Nothing would exist if it weren't for God, and God would not create something he hated. God loves everything he creates. And then he chastises and rebukes people little by little so that they might turn from their ways and return to him. So even the chastisement that we get from God is intended for our turning around, for our getting it right. Because part of the nature of humanity is that we get it wrong. And St. Paul recognizes in his own conversion that he who thought he was so right by persecuting Christians and rounding them up and putting them into prison, and it turns out he was wrong. But the Lord forgave him, allowed him to convert, to turn around, to come back. And so for the rest of Paul's life, he holds that in his heart and in his mind, that God was merciful to him, even when he was wrong. Now, in the story about Zacchaeus, there are a number of interesting features. The first thing is that Zacchaeus is described as a tax collector and a wealthy man. He was the chief tax collector. So in Luke's gospel, wealth is a sign of degradation and sin. Matthew is much milder to people who have money. But for Luke, and just a couple of chapters before this, Luke tells the story of Jesus' encounter with a rich young man. And the rich young man understands the commandments and he obeys them. And, you know, he's on the way to righteousness. But he says, "What more must I do?" And Jesus says to him, "Well, sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and then come and follow me." And the rich young man went away sad because his possessions were many. He couldn't make that conversion. He couldn't make that final step. And here's Zacchaeus, another wealthy man. And Zacchaeus comes through to his wealth by ill-begotten means. He's a tax collector. And the way tax collectors worked in the Roman Empire wanted a certain amount from this person, and so the tax collector would add something to that, and he would take the rest. And so if you got as wealthy as Zacchaeus, it probably meant that you were gouging people for way more than they needed to pay. And most of these people were poor, and it was just a huge imposition on them. He just exaggerated, multiplied their poverty. So here's the Zacchaeus, and he wants to see Jesus. And the word "see" keeps coming up over and over again in this text. I think it's four times that it mentions that Zacchaeus is trying to see Jesus and that he wants to see Jesus. And when Jesus gets to the spot, he looks up and he sees Zacchaeus. And so their eyes meet. And there's two different kinds of seeing. You know, initially Zacchaeus wants to see Jesus out of curiosity. It's not that he has any faith or anything like that, but, you know, he's heard of this man, this miracle worker, and since he can't see over the crowd, he climbs up into this tree so that he can see him out of curiosity. But then when his gaze meets the gaze of Jesus, something gets transformed in him. And Jesus says a strange thing to him: "Today I must stay at your house." Well, we recall here when Jesus was 12 years old and he was lost in the temple, and when Mary comes and sort of chastises him, "How could you do this to your father and me? We've been worried about you for 3 days." And Jesus says, "I must stay in my father's house." Now he says to Zacchaeus, "I must stay in your house." Wow. Is he saying that Zacchaeus is the father? Well, not exactly, but he is saying that he sees divinity in Zacchaeus, even a sinner. It's an amazing story. And so Zacchaeus stands his ground and he says, "Well, I believe now, and I'm going to turn around. I'm going to repent, and I'm going to give half of everything I have to the poor, and I'm going to repay anybody that I cheated four times over. I mean, it's way beyond what the law required. And so Zacchaeus is very different from that other rich young man. The other rich young man knew the Bible. He knew the commandments. He was obeying them. He was much farther along spiritually, you might say, than Zacchaeus. But when Zacchaeus converts, he just goes all the way. But he doesn't follow Jesus. The presumption in the story here is that he stayed in Jericho and continued to be a tax collector, but he was just more honest about it. And he was generous to the poor. So if God chastises us gently, little by little, so that we might repent and become more godlike, more Christ-like, then what does that look like? According to the Zacchaeus story, it looks like generosity to the poor. It looks like welcoming God into our house. You know, to say, I must stay at your house is a kind of an indwelling. The gospel writers love to talk about God dwelling in people and talking about the Trinity dwelling in each other. So God takes up his residence in me. And in a few minutes, we're going to receive communion. We're going to be drinking and eating of God. And we're going to have God dwelling in us. God has come today to stay in our house. And then finally, this conversion means that I must walk with Jesus, that I must accept the invitation to divine life. Well, this is a lifelong project. You know, we hear these wonderful stories in the gospel where it all happens in an instant. But for most of us, it happens gradually, year after year. It takes a lifetime. And hopefully we're farther along that journey this year than we were last year. But nonetheless, it is a long, arduous, but faith-filled journey. We see these candles here. Every year at this time, we have a mass for the deceased members of our parish, particularly those who died in the last year. And so we have a candle for each of the ones who had a funeral or a burial here at St. Thomas More in the past year. And so the cantors will lead us in the song that goes with this, and we'll read off the names, and then family members or friends, anybody who wants to come and light one of these candles, just please come forward.